This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I think maybe the biggest decision made last night by Dave Martinez was not pinch hitting for Steven Strasburg in the fifth.
Huge.
You got two extra innings out of him, and I don't think they win otherwise. We could talk to Sam Fortier about that. Coming up in the Blitz in a moment, Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch gets us started. Get back to your calls on the Nats in just a few as we're spending the day with you guys celebrating the first ever berth for the Nationals in the NLCS. Michael, you've covered the Skins for a while, but you are kind of a DC guy now. Richmond through and through. You've been to many a Nats game in these close seasons in years past. What'd you make of last night?
So I actually moved out to DC to work for MLB.com covering the Nationals. I thought I wanted to be a baseball writer. Covered 162, I realized I did not want to be a baseball writer. I do love baseball, though, and man, I could not sleep last night after that. That was fantastic. I think I feel the best for Ryan Zimmerman, who's been through so much, man. You love to see him succeed in the end, and nice to have the other team's manager be the one make the bad decision.
Okay, so two terrible teams play this weekend. One's terrible by design. The other one's the Redskins. I don't know, man. The Bill Callahan era. Yay! What do we expect that's going to be different?
Here's the thing. They've got to win Sunday. Isn't it so crazy we're talking about a must-win game for an 0-5 team playing an 0-4 team? But everything this week is about things Jay did was wrong, things Bill did is right, the organization will, you know, has the right people in place, we're changing up practices, things will go well. You can't do all that and then lose to a team that's trying to lose. You have to win on Sunday. Now, the rest of the season is going to be a long slog, but you need your moment here. You need to validate the change, and that's what you do. You call the players-only meeting before you play the Marlins. I get that. This is your Marlins game, but you got to win it.
So, Michael, by the way, I thought my favorite question and answer from the press conference was yours about Dan Snyder
and
talking.
I tweeted you that, buddy. It was perfect.
And Bruce Allen said to you that he makes himself available from time to time, which I guess means every 15 years. I'm not really sure exactly what he was talking about. But what was your big takeaway or your favorite thing from that press conference? Because the close second for me was that the culture is actually pretty damn good.
That's obviously your takeaway line. That's your we're winning off the field line that'll be repeated over and over through the season as they lose. The whole thing just strikes me as a big rerun, Grant, that, you know, we had this press conference 5 years ago. We had the RG3 situation 5 years ago. It sure feels like we're trending that way with Haskin. It just feels like nothing is changing and nothing will change. And I get why people are tuning this team out. There's not a sense of hope on the horizon.
Miguel, thank you, buddy. Enjoy this weekend as much as you possibly can.
I'm going to watch a lot of baseball.
That's the way to do it. Thank you, bud. There he goes. I'm going to talk about baseball.
So is the rest of D.C., by the
way. Yeah, seriously.
I can't wait to see some TV numbers from Sunday.
I wish they played Sunday.
Like during the day?
Yeah, I wish they played during the Redskins
game. Well, they
don't
play at all, I guess, Sunday because they play Friday, Saturday. You're right.
Well, let's talk baseball. Sam 48, Washington Post, covers the Nationals. Sam, what the hell just happened? I can't believe it. What a joyous, wonderful thing.
The Washington Nationals redefined what Game 5 means in the city. I think, you know, from now on, you'll acknowledge and remember those disappointments from the years before. But right now, Howie Kendrick's grand slam in the 10th, maybe even those two home runs off Clayton Kershaw in the 8th, I mean, that's going to be your indelible defining memory.
Soto, what a postseason. What a swing in the 8th. What do you make of his ability to come through in these big spots?
Yeah, I think sort of we saw him slump at the end of September a little bit, as he did in May, and his ability to just figure it out, his ability to, you know, shorten the swing, get to the baseball. As we saw, you know, last night, Clayton Kershaw leaves that slider up and into him, and he just takes it to center field. I think, you know, what he's able to do, how he's able to get himself back on track when his swing isn't, you know, what he wants, how he, you know, is pull, when he pulls out. I think that's maybe the most remarkable thing. You know, he didn't get Adam Kolarik, the lefty specialist the Dodgers used. He went over 3 against him, but his at-bats got better every time, and I think he's going to carry that momentum into this next series.
Sam, we'll remember the big moments, the back-to-back bolts from Rendon and Soto. Obviously, Kendrick's Grand Slam, that's the new one seed for Nationals memories. Give me a hidden thing yesterday that you think needs some more attention.
I think Steven Strasburg settling down, and obviously, you know, he had the two home runs early, you know, gives up those three runs. But for him to you know, kind of settle in and grind out and gut out those last few innings, I think that was huge. You know, he stranded a runner on third, I believe in the third. You know, he had a leadoff single from Cody Bellinger, and he stole second. So, you know, you're a runner at second base, nobody out, I believe in the fifth. And he escapes both of those and keeps the team right where it's at. I think his performance, you know, it wasn't the dominant Strasburg that we're used to, but he did enough to keep his team in that game and set up that rally late.
What about Dave Martinez in this series? You know, previously the Nats fired a guy who had won two division titles in 2 years because they couldn't win a playoff series. Martinez gets them out of the divisional round.
There were plenty of legitimate technical questions, I think, about Martinez throughout the season, but I think he's been nailed the whole postseason. You know, for him to stick with Scherzer in the wild card game and then to stick with Strasburg last night, to use his lineup as he did, you know, I think he deserves a lot of credit for this NLDS win. I would even say going to Tanner Rainey last night in the seventh for those two right-handers. I mean, there's a fly ball to the right field warning track that could have changed this whole thing. But, you know, evaluating his assets, you know, pulling off a starter and reliever strategy, obviously, you know, it didn't work out one time with Corbin, but he goes back to Corbin. I think Dave Martinez was nailed this whole postseason.
Yeah, we agree there. All right, Sam, I haven't turned the page to the Cardinals yet. They're good as well. They're not as good as the Dodgers, but they're also very good. How do they match up against that team?
Yeah, I think you actually see a pretty similar team. You know, they have an older manager who's, you know, very old school. He likes to bunt. He likes to sacrifice. The Nationals and Cardinals tied to the league lead in steals with 116. Obviously, the Cardinals only have one ace, whereas the Nationals have three. But the Nationals have a deep bullpen. They were fifth in ERA this season. You know, it's very solid top to bottom. The Cardinals, I think, are a much weaker lineup. They're the weakest lineup that made the playoffs. So the Nationals should have an advantage there. But I think in just the styles that these two teams play, they're actually more similar than you think.
The division series was fun. You guys have covered this team brilliantly all year long. Looking forward to seeing how you write it up in the NLCS. Thank you, Sam.
Thanks, Sam.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
Much appreciated. Tomorrow night, game one against the Cardinals. Couple of lines open for the first time all day. So let's get right back to the phones, and you can squeeze in right now at 800-636-1067. We're letting you guys kind of steer the agenda, but we're throwing some different angles and topics out. And next, we'll get into some Nats attaboys, some guys that deserve some attention, some credit, either just from Game 5 or the series that might be going under the radar. You're listening to G&D on The Fan.
Kershaw's 1-0 to Rendon, swung on, hit of the year to deep left center field. Taylor going back, warning track, at the wall, he leaps, it is gone, goodbye! Bang! Zoom goes Rendon on the second pitch from Clayton Kershaw. And this is now a one-run game here in the top of the eighth inning. Rendon with his first home run of the series and the postseason. He drives in his fifth run of this series. And it's now the Dodgers 3 and the Nationals 2 with nobody out here at the top of the eighth inning.
Anthony Rendon doubled and homered in his final three at-bats last night for the Nationals. They all proved to be huge.
That boy good.
Attaboy, Anthony Rendon. Welcome back. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Carl Hagelin is on the show at 12:45, and Sean Doolittle is with us live on the phone today at 1:30. Figured we could just quickly run through the Nationals roster both last night and kind of big picture here in this series and give out some quick attaboys, some people that need to be commended. I will start with Juan Soto, who had two hits, two runs scored, was on base three times and hit the game-tying home run last night for the Nationals in the eighth inning. What a series for Juan Soto. Attaboy.
I'll do a little attaboy for Michael A. Taylor. Not easy to be in Fresno. Not easy to be in Harrisburg, wherever he was. He was in the minor leagues for more days than he was in the big leagues this year. Steps in and makes a great catch. Has some good at-bats throughout the series. A positive impact in a tough filling spot against the best team in the National League.
Howie Kendrick, your turn to come on up to the front of the stage and take a bow. Three errors in the series. And it was your grand slam that put the Nats over the top last night. You called it the greatest moment in your career. He is closer to 40 than 30. He's been playing for a while. It's a pretty big state.
Attaboy Steven Strasburg. It looked bad to start. They had a great plan against you, buddy. They were sitting there spitting on the changeup. Didn't bite on the curveball. They were determined not to swing at those pitches as they had in their first start in this series. And they took your fastball deep a couple different times. Instead of doing the old Steven Strasburg, which is slump your shoulders, give it a wow, and just wait to come out the game while you're getting tattooed. No. You kept them right there and gave your team a chance to win. Attaboy Strasburg.
Little pat on the back for Tanner Rainey, 2/3 of an inning out of the bullpen last night. He was great, and then the button was touched to go get Patrick Corbin after he had failed in relief, and he got a big strikeout to end the seventh, and then a clean eighth inning. He was great. Attaboy as well to Daniel Hudson and Sean Doolittle. Scoreless innings in the ninth and tenth, respectively. The Nats maligned the bullpen last night. How about four innings of one-hit shutout? Five strikeout baseball, aided by a starter.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty impressive.
I have an attaboy. He didn't play last night, but he was threatening to. He was in the manager's ear all afternoon and into the evening. You know who I'm talking about.
Oh, Maxie.
He jogged out to that bullpen. He looked like a caged animal that was mad. He was angry. He wanted to come into the game. Good thing he wasn't needed. How about Max Scherzer? Hold on. Before you applaud. You can keep your applause going, actually. He's got that same Kershaw thing where people have decided he's not a, quote, postseason pitcher or big game pitcher. How about nobody was bigger in this series. Eight innings pitched, 1.13 earned run average, 10 punch outs, only a handful of batters reached base against him. Max Scherzer, they're not here without you, sir.
Just some of the many attaboys that'll be given out as we get rolling here in the third hour of the show today on Grant and Danny. What a night it was. The Nationals were down 2-0 after one, 3-0 after two. They get an RBI base hit from Juan Soto in the sixth, and then back-to-back homers, consecutive pitches, Clayton Kershaw in the eighth inning to make it 3-3 before busting the game wide open in the 10th off Joe Kelly, who, for some reason I'll never understand,
thank
was
goodness.
Still in the game.
Thank goodness.
And a grand slam with the bases loaded and nobody out for Howie Kendrick. The shot heard round the baseball world. Let's go to Mike in Fairfax on the fan. What's up, Mike?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas.
What's up, buddy?
Listen, I just wanted to say something real quick before I get to my point. I didn't really watch baseball my whole life. I just grew up, I'm a local DC fan, so I just watched Redskins. But, you know, after listening to you guys over the course of a decade, I guess you can almost say, at least 1 of 6 of 7 a fan, you know, I kind of like got into baseball. And then when the Harper era came in, you know, I kind of fell in love with him. We didn't have a local team at the time too, so that didn't help. But after listening to you guys and how much you guys cover them and all that stuff, it just makes you want to pay attention to the game. Same thing with the Capitals. But it got to the point even where last night I'm like lying in bed, my wife's asleep, and I'm listening to my Bluetooth headphones, and so there wouldn't be that much light in the room, so she wouldn't wake up. And I'm like pounding my fist in the air slightly when I'm hearing like, the grand slam, you know, and I got the junkie's schedule. Got to wake up early in the morning and stuff, so
oh,
she doesn't
man.
Like me, you know, staying up late, you know. So but I just wanted to say the X factor too and all this, you know, all the boxes have been checked, all the calls have been calling in this morning, everybody's saying the right stuff, but one thing that people have been really saying is Pete Medhurst got his kick in this whole thing too. So those are like the little things that the past previous years the Nationals didn't have, you know, they're having them in this run right now, you know. So
love it.
I just want to say kudos to y'all and keep at it and
appreciate it.
Go Nationals, baby.
I love it.
A lot of
Thank
fun.
You, buddy.
It's fun.
Shout out, by the way, Pete Medhurst called 15 Nats games this year. There were 12-3 in those games.
I don't know. It's information.
All I'm giving you
is do with it what you will.
Statistical facts.
Information.
Lewis in DC, how are you?
Hey, good guys. How are you doing this morning?
Good, brother.
Great.
Good. Hey, I just want to say great job to you guys for everything you're doing this morning. Everybody's been telling you that, but as somebody that stayed up to watch the rest of the game and a lot of the postseason stuff, you'd never know that you guys are up until dark 30. So good on you for that.
Appreciate
getting to the Nats stuff. Definitely. I really have noticed and appreciated since I started following the team back in, I got stationed here in 2011, and that's when I really started following, the shift in climate. It's gone from, hey, here's why the Nats are going to lose, or here's why Team X is going to beat them, to here's why the Nationals will win. There's been a definite gradual but definite shift in climate towards how our team is doing. And that whole stay in the fight mentality is really starting to pay off. And everybody buying into that has been so great, seeing such a young baseball town in the overall scheme of things, you know, barely 15 years, not even like just about almost to 15 years. And seeing all these people that used to be Orioles fans really coming over to rock the red, if you will, at Nats Park has been really, really awesome to see everybody do that shift. And it's been a really cool time to be a baseball fan in D.C. with such a young fan base, because you don't quite have those generations of people that have followed teams like the Redskins or the Capitals. You know, we're actually in the process of living through the building of that. So it's really neat to be that a part of that history and see a team as classy as the Nats start doing their thing. So
smart call. I think it's well said. Thank you for making it. I'll say this, too. He mentioned that maybe there was more belief. I think the Capitals breaking through as a city.
Dude, somebody had to do it, and they did it.
Yeah, it gives you that ability to feel like, well, maybe it could happen or something good could come our way. But I do think it's specific to this group and this team because of the year that they had.
Yeah.
And along those lines, I'm not sure that I've ever necessarily believed in the past about, you know, needing to be tested or, you know, if you're the Dodgers as an example, you win 106 games and you win the division going away and you didn't play an important game for a month. Like, somehow you can't win in the playoffs because of that. I don't know that I buy that.
Yeah, nobody would ever say, hey, let's sign up to be worse.
Right.
Right? You're trying to be the best team possible.
I'd rather win 106 and take my chances. But that said, I do think that where the Nats came from prepared them to win that game against Milwaukee and gave them a better chance to win that game last night. Because if your entire season has been one big exercise in persistence and resilience and one big opportunity to prove that you are going to, quote-unquote, I hate saying this, but you know, stay in the fight, which is a perfect slogan, then how much easier is it last night when you've already come back from down 3-0 against the Brewers, when you've already come back from being 19-31? When you've been left for dead time and time and time again. I think it makes last night a little bit more of a believable, plausible thing that you can come back and win when you're down 3-0 after two innings. Alex is in Burke on Grant and Danny. How are you?
Grant and Danny, we're going to the NLCS, baby. Whoa!
Yes,
this is
sir.
Correct. This is correct.
Oh, it is information God, that you're providing.
Man. Oh, such a great feeling. Couple things. Dave Martinez has proven he's starting to become an elite manager. I think today when the game just seems so statistical and calculated, he's proven that he knows this team better than anybody. So, I mean, it's an awesome thing to see. And then one question, you guys touched on this a bit earlier, but the status of Victor Robles. I mean, it's Eaton clutch walk there in, I think, the ninth inning, but his bat seems to be just like a little flat lately. I'm wondering if you could see Robles in center and Michael A. Taylor in right field by any chance. Just want to hear your thoughts on that.
Not me.
I wouldn't think so.
I'm a huge Eaton guy. I think he played great defense in the second half of the year. He used to be a super defender, and because of some injuries, that hadn't been the case. He has excellent at-bats. I believe in this team wearing pitchers out, working counts. And in the case of both Robles and Taylor, those are swing and miss guys, strikeout guys, not necessarily going to be high contact guys, which Eaton is. Eaton, to me, is the perfect two-hitter. If you wanted to move him down in the order when he gets cold at some point, okay, fine. But he's what this team is. He lays bunts down and he gets on base. He'll get bunts, he'll get guys over. He is... Reminds me a lot, honestly, of like what I know Davey Martinez to have been when he was a player. He could jump out of the yard with some power. He lays bunts down. The word you use for Eaton is gritty. And I think that's the kind of guy you want on the field in these games.
He's going to work the count. And with all due respect to what Taylor did and what Robles did at times, that's not what those guys are at this point. They're still more free swingers. I'll take Eaton up there. Even if he's not getting hits, which is what happened last night, you still saw the at-bats, right? Just Kelly mows through that part of the order. The bottom, right, striking out the guys that he did and gets Eaton down in a hole, and he just grinds and battles and grinds and battles. Next thing you know, sets the table for Anthony Rendon. I need that.
Yeah, I'm not – by the way, he said Davey's becoming an elite manager. I'm not going there. Elite is one of the best in baseball, and you know, a couple weeks ago people were ready to move on from him, incorrectly I would say. But you know, he's got a ways to go, and in the same way that I'm not going to be reactionary and fire a guy when – he's managing a team that would win 68 or 69 games because everybody's hurt. I'm not going to now all of a sudden say he's elite. He had a heck of a series, though. What I really like about him is his guts. He does things routinely that are going to be chastised at the podium if they don't work. Coaches in other sports, managers in baseball, generally avoid that at all costs. I'm not going to do the thing that if it doesn't work, I'm going to be grilled for. And Davey Martinez really doesn't care about that.
I love that, by the way.
I love
that's
that about him.
That's a great point by you. Not being afraid of the press conference.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Sean Doolittle at 1:30 today. We're talking Nats with you guys on 106.7 The Nats. Grant and Danny joined each and every week throughout the season by Capitals winger Carl Hagelin, who's on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Carl, you guys have lost a couple straight games in overtime, but you've got points in all four of your games this season. How should we feel about these first four so far?
I think feel pretty good about it. Obviously, I think we've had the lead in the two games we've lost in overtime, and that's something we need to, you know, to fix moving forward here. I think yesterday was one of those games where we, you know, dominated the first period, and then we just kind of, you know, let up. I felt like we didn't play the way we need to play, and we let them back in the game. And obviously, it's big to score that goal at the end, but we shouldn't have gotten down to that.
Carl Hagelin with us for his Thursday spot. He's presented by FH for Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Carl, you mentioned that you guys got off to a gangbuster start there the other night against Dallas and played well early against Carolina. What kind of happens? You got to give the other team credit, too, obviously, for the way that they've played and kind of able to come back a little bit. These guys get paid to play as well. But what have you guys done differently that's allowed them to get back into games?
I think against Carolina, it was, you know, it was 2-0 going into the third there. I think we gave up a goal there on the PK. And then after that, they started taking over Carolina. But that was a game we might have had, you know, might have been a little bit of a fatigue from our part. But I think yesterday that was all on us. I think we thought it was going to be an easy game after playing so well in the first. And, you know, we stopped doing the little things right. We didn't get pucks deep and we didn't play them in their zone. And we gave them opportunities from, you know, opportunities that they didn't even have to work for. You know, we turned the puck over around the blue line, and they started getting two and ones and breakaways, and after that they started feeling it. And, you know, we gave them, you know, everything that game. So that's something we can't be doing moving forward.
Carl Hagelin on Grant and Danny. I know you don't spend much time on the power play, but I am curious, as a specialist, you're on the penalty kill, you know what kind of goes into a successful power play. 0-for-5 and 0-for-6 in the last two games in these two losses, and now 2-for-16 on the year. This power play has been great for a long time, so at some point it's going to get going. But what have you seen so far, and when teams are scuffling in that regard, what generally is ailing them?
Well, I think, we're getting the looks. I'm not worried about our power play. Obviously, they want to score as much as they can, and you know, we need them to score goals to win games here moving forward. But at the same time, I thought we had a lot of good looks. You look at that first PP we had against Dallas, Osh had a great look. Carlson had a good look, and then you know, it's one of those things when you're hot, the puck goes in from everywhere, and when you're struggling a little bit, maybe, you know, you might not take the shots that are there, or the other team might, you know, their goalie might be making some big saves. So I can't say I'm too worried about our PP.
Carl, how do you feel physically? It's, again, the weird schedule to start the year, and I know you guys had a nice offseason to train and kind of get in shape, but nothing replicates, you know, getting into the rhythm of an NHL season. How do you feel at this point?
I mean, I feel good, but it's definitely different. You know, playing four games here in, I don't know, seven nights maybe. It's it doesn't matter what you do in the summer. It's going to take a little bit of a toll on the body, but this is what you need early on. You need to get into things and, you know, get into old routines. So, you know, body feels pretty good, and it's just a matter of, you know, for every single guy on the team just to be more consistent throughout, you know, 60 minutes in a game.
Carl Hagelin going to be with us each and every week on Grant and Danny Thursdays throughout the season here on your flagship home for the Capitals, 106.7 The Fan. We got our first look at Ilya Samsonov this past week. He was impressive. Caps fans are excited about him. What have you seen? What do you like so far?
Very calm goalie. You know, he reads the game well. He's a guy that, you know, he obviously a big goalie as well. He keeps the team calm, and he had a great first game. We're happy to have him.
Carl, this is the nature of sports, especially ones with a salary cap, but there's always so much roster turnover and new players, and you yourself were new to this team during last year. How long does it take to establish that kind of communication and learn the tendencies of your teammates, especially some younger players that are trying to get acclimated to Todd Reirden's style and how Backe and Ovi and guys like Tom Wilson and Kuznetsov and those guys play? How long does that kind of take to build that chemistry where it's second nature?
Yeah, I think it's very different from player to player. I think for me, I came in here after playing against these guys for so long, and you know, being an older guy, I felt like I fit in right away. The chemistry was almost there before, but I think as a young guy, sometimes you might take a little longer. You might, you know, sometimes you wait and see how people act, or you might not put your front foot forward right away, and you're a little shy maybe. But I think just looking at the guys we have on this team, it seems pretty good. Everyone's outgoing and they want to learn. Not only what type of player you are, but also what type of person you are off the ice.
Carl, next stop for you guys is Nashville, one of the best environments to play hockey in right now in the country and one of my favorite cities in America. I'm curious, what are your favorite road cities to travel to and why, or what are your favorite barns to play in? And we'll separate Capital One Arena just so that you can not have to worry about saying that one.
Right. I think for me, always going back to New York and play at MSG, that's a special feeling. You know, it's a lot of history there, and for me, even more history for me there. I like Montreal. Bell Center is always bumping. I would say those are my two favorite ones. But Nashville, I haven't played enough games there throughout the years, but I had a playoff series there, and that's when you really realized how loud it is in there, and how a lot of people, not only inside the rink but outside, how they love to party.
Carl, are you one of those guys that loves when you're on the road and the opposing fans are screaming at you? Like, do you like that? Do you like kind of having guys try to wear you out, and then it's almost like you're competing against them too? Or would you rather they just shut up and sit in their seats?
No, I love when the fans get going. That's why those road games are so much fun. It feels like it's you against not only the other team but another 20,000 people screaming at you, and I think that gives you energy. That pumps you up. That's one of the fun things being on the road.
Make sure you make it an appointment each week at Thursday Caps Fans. Carl Hagelin, presented by FH Fur Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Home of 83 or it's free. FH Fur will clear any slow or clogged drain for just $83. If they can't, it's free. Details at FHFur.com. Carl, thank you, buddy. Enjoy the road trip, and we will catch up soon.
Thanks, Carl.
Thanks a lot, guys. See you next week.
All the best. There's Carl Hagelin. You're listening to Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.